House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Last time on House of Annihilation. At every turn, it seems like the Red Wizards of Thay have beat the crew of the High Havoc to the punch, clearing the shrines of the trickster gods of their precious puzzle cubes. With the fate of the world at stake and a grudge to be settled, the crew runs headlong into the waiting arms of Kozef, Master of Necromancy. Will the exhausted and weakened crew be forced to surrender the artifacts, or will they risk it all in an attempt for revenge?
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liana Cervana, the Elf Beastmaster.
Hi, I'm Jake. I'm playing as Cranston Thorne, the Half-Elf Bard.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on! You guys are on the Great East Highway of Omu, face to face with Kozef Horklaw. And he has asked you,
I think perhaps you should give me the puzzle cubes.
It looked like someone else got there first. It was already missing.
Yes, that was me.
Then why did you ask for it?
Because you have the rest.
No, we don't.
I don't believe you.
Oh, nice to see you, by the way.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I think I said greetings last episode.
Well, this is a recap, so...
So, hello! How are you, my friends?
Yeah. Hi, Kozef. Good to see you.
Kozef, let's just be honest with each other here. What do you want the Soulmonger for? Why are you here?
Really, it is not going to be going to me. It's going to my bosses. It is an artifact of incredible necromantic energy, and... You know, we want to prolong our lives to do better for the world and contribute our intelligence and legacy. This is going to, hopefully, allow us to pursue that endeavor.
At the expense of everybody who's been affected by it? By the curse?
And the fact that nobody will ever be able to have offspring again?
Is that really important when you have ultimate power and undead legions to do your bidding? I don't think so.
I'm convinced. I join him.
If he wants to live forever,
stab him right
he
now.
He has to destroy the Soulmonger, because that's why nobody can live forever anymore.
Yeah.
This is a plot hole that Kozef isn't aware
of. He's undead.
Mm. He's more like glitch-based
than... Yes, my masters play by different rules.
Mm.
And there are realms of existence beyond this one that once we have that power, we can control.
How many skeleton friends does he have?
He's got four with him.
I think we should avoid conflict now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to fight him eventually. And this is obviously in telepathic messages that I'm sending to my friends.
Yes, I think that we should roleplay this out. You guys are having a very rude secret meeting right in front of me.
All right, we just start giving each other knowing looks.
Yeah, I nod.
You guys dizzy.
Cranston steps forward a little bit. Kozef, your mission is unacceptable to us.
Naturally.
Yes. And as I imagine, we are unacceptable to you or whatever. I didn't word that very well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're fired.
Frankly, we're not giving you the cubes. I assume that means you're going to try to kill us for them, right?
You know, there are many traps in these shrines. And obviously, we both want the same thing. We want to have all of them.
Yeah.
So if you do some, and I do some, I do not see any reason we cannot come to an arrangement.
How many do you have, Kozef?
Be honest with us. I have enough to make it interesting.
I'll tell you exactly how many we have if you tell us how many you have.
All right, I'll be honest. I have five.
That's pretty good.
I'll be honest with you, Kozef. That means there's one more.
So it seems that I have already done a majority of the work getting a five.
Yes.
With one more remaining, I think perhaps we make a deal. The Tomb of the Nine Gods will not open without all nine. There is one left, currently situated in the Temple of Nang Nang, to the north of the Royal Palace. If you retrieve this cube, we will enter the temple together.
Okay.
And then what?
One of us is bound to die there.
The tomb will be dangerous. We all have a common goal of getting to the end, getting to the Soulmonger.
Mm-hmm.
If we work together, one of us has a shot.
I ask him if any of the rest of his expedition are still here in Omu.
They may be hanging about somewhere. I do not know right now. I mean, there's Orvex right there beside you.
He's our friend now. Isn't that right? I pat him on the back.
It is not friendly to be exclusive.
All right. Nice. We'll put Orvex in the middle and we'll stand on opposite sides of the hallway.
See which one
I
he goes to.
I put bacon in my
Come
pocket,
here, Orvex.
Though.
Orvex.
I have a scroll of some old Omuian language that I'm waving in front of.
He's panting.
I could almost read it from here.
If only I had my binoculars.
Then I wouldn't have to choose. Yeah, that's true. Okay. I actually think that's a fine proposal. What about you guys?
Sure. Let's go camp out at whatever that
The shrine?
Guy. Yeah, what's that guy's name again? There, the shrine?
Do you want the new
Nang
shrine?
Nang. No, we gotta go to Nang Nang's shrine.
Nang Nang's the frog, or the grung.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got...
We got an edge on this one.
Yeah.
We've been him.
Her.
Oh. Nah. I wasn't her.
Yeah. Cranson? I think it doesn't hurt to have more people for the final temple, basically. Some people who could fall off a ledge for us. A dog.
You guys are in the rugby scrum now.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Whispering to each other.
You know, a dog who can probably smell trouble.
I mean, fighting him later is better than fighting him now, but...
Yes.
Yeah, let's wait till we level up again.
Or maybe we could, you know, he seems like a reasonable guy. Maybe he'll just, you know, come around.
Fine. Kosef will retrieve the puzzle cube from the Temple of Nang Nang, and we'll meet you at the obelisk in a couple days' time.
This sounds very good to me, and I wish you the best of luck.
Okay, so you guys are good with the deal?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's I reasonable. Say I am.
Douglas says it's reasonable.
Makes sense to work together.
Before we part ways, shall we shake hands?
No.
He proffers a hand to you guys.
What's it look like?
It looks like a normal human hand.
All right, Town, shake his hand.
So you guys kind of just give him the cold shoulder there?
Kosef, no, I don't trust you farther than I can throw you.
I
but...
shake his hand.
Horik offers him
Douglas,
the elbow.
No!
I'm going to do it. It's a wizard's code.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, you'll get
you
some spell
in
you and he'll feel clammy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the clammy one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you do that thing where you like stick your middle finger and like rub his palm.
Gross.
I don't know this
thing.
Do
like a Trump power handshake on
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, pull him in.
I thought I was the good guy. Now you're telling me I'm a bad guy.
Okay, so yeah, Kosef shakes Douglas's hand. It is a normal, amicable, firm handshake.
From him?
Yeah.
Mine is very fish-like.
It's like a dead fish.
Yeah.
It's really limp.
It's really...
He's trying, but he just can't get
yeah.
a good grip.
Mine is really limp and wet. We'll be seeing you, Kosef.
With that, he travels off to the west, passing past you guys and towards that bridge that you had to cross over the river.
Once he's out of earshot, Douglas, please scan yourself for magical tracers and diseases and various horrific magical traps that he has obviously laid on you.
Okay. Do I have...
Do you have detect magic?
I don't. It doesn't look like I have detect
okay,
magic.
So you cannot detect magic.
I feel fine. Do I feel fine?
You feel like you're at 6 hit points.
I don't feel fine.
All right. Nap time.
Yeah.
Let's go find a place to sleep.
You guys did just clear Wongo's shrine. Or you could make your way back to where you were originally camped out, or...
It's fine.
The shrine is fine.
Yeah, it's
yeah
got
the
a roof
shrine
over
is
our heads.
A little safer, I think.
Okay, cool. So you head back to Wongo Shrine.
Oh, did the guide stay with us?
Orvex, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he is our friend.
Yeah, he's totally with us.
You'll need my help in order to decipher the puzzle at the next shrine, so I'll stay with you.
I thought they were getting the next shrine.
No, we are.
Oh my god.
Attention at all today.
Damn. I don't want to get in it. Leanne, tell him to go get the shrine.
Leanne was smoking some reefer when you guys were eating Kosef.
Literally, he said he did most of the work, so we have to do the next one.
Good luck with that shrine, big guy.
Yeah, I was like totally cool with it. I'm like, wow.
What a great deal.
Yeah, he's already got 5, so he knows how to do it.
We know how to do it.
We've done 2, and you've almost died like twice.
Well, that's all normal, okay? At this point, Douglas has almost died a bunch of times.
Orvex, what do you make of Kosef?
Well, he's absolutely one of the more terrifying members of his crew.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't have a whole lot to do with him when I was first hired. But once I arrived at Omu and he showed up shortly later, he was one of the few
groups that I know of to make it all the way through the jungle without any of his guards dying. But if they're not with him now, either they're performing some other task or they died in the effort to get him the cubes.
Can I ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is he just to betray us when we have the other cube?
He strikes me as an incredibly cunning man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he would waste your lives if he thinks he could use you.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
But that being said, if all you are is a
cube getter,
a meat shield, yeah, then you're more obedient as a zombie. You're a wizard. You have skills that aren't available to you once you're undead.
That's true.
So maybe he needs something out of you like that.
Okay, great. At least we know he won't automatically kill us, probably.
He will not hesitate to either.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We need a plan. So someone come up with a plan.
You guys are camped down. You started a fire.
Yeah.
The night starts to encroach outside of the shrine, and you hear the night sounds of animals and creatures milling about in the dark of the city. And now you guys are huddled around the fire trying to come up with a plan. What's your plan? What are you going to be doing tomorrow? Are you going to go straight for Nang Nang Shrine, or are you going to try and do something else behind Kozef's back?
Hmm.
You know that there are a number of features within the city that you guys haven't visited yet, even outside of shrines.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the amphitheater up in the northwest corner of the city that you were curious about. The obelisk that was mentioned in the adventurous camp. You think from above you saw some marketplace, definitely the royal palace, and then the pit with lava. More of the flooded area of the city. So there's things that you could potentially explore, or you could make it all about business, all about getting through.
Maybe we should go to the obelisk first, before Kozef presumably will be there, just to examine it and see, you know, where we're going to meet him and see if we can execute some kind of plan there.
Mm-hmm. Where's the obelisk in this case?
You remember the note in the adventurer's camp, or the company of the yellow banner described the obelisk being on the north side of the city.
Yes, okay. The amphitheater, yeah, that's right.
Where is the Temple of Nang Nang?
It is north of the royal palace.
All right, obelisk then?
Okay.
You wanted to check out that amphitheater anyway, so
yeah,
let's go look at the obelisk and then the amphitheater, and then we can make our way back.
Sounds good.
It's morning time. You guys have been talking about it all night. What is the first thing you want to do in the morning?
We're going to go check out the obelisk, which is the meeting place that we arranged with Kozef, so we can get lay of the land, survey it, maybe begin the workings of some kind of devious plan.
You guys travel north through the city, girding around some of the flooded sections of the city around buildings that have collapsed and jungle ground that has overgrown, and you arrive at the north end of the city. The cliffs here rise up about 150 feet. You can see just barely in the distance, set along the rim of the sunken canyon, are a series of gargoyles all the way around as you look up, and just kind of nestled amongst the leaves and greenery up there, forebodingly looking down, keeping guard over the lost city. Here at the base of the cliffs, there's a 15-foot tall obelisk of cracked stone. Draped with vines and black moss, it has this inner glow that you recognize a dark feeling within it from some dream or nightmare that you might have had in days past. Behind it, you see there's a dark passageway obscured by withered creepers, and a second, smaller tunnel burrows into the base of the cliff to the east. You come up to the obelisk and you clear off a little bit of the vines and moss on it, and you find an inscription actually carved into it in common.
Nothing we've come across up until now has been in common. It's all been in
That Omu. Is correct. This is the first thing that you've seen in Omu written in common.
Other than graffiti.
Yeah. It says, "Fear the night when the Forsaken One seizes death's mantle and the seas dry up and the dead rise, and I, Asarak, the Eternal, reap the world of the living. Those who dare enter, take heed. The enemies oppose. One stands between them. In darkness it hides. Don the mask or be seen. Speak no truth to the doomed child. The keys turn on the inside only."
Other than being smaller, do the two tunnels look any different? Does one look in any way recent, or is one man-made, one natural?
The main tunnel just ahead of you is about 10 feet wide. It's a little bit more cleanly carved. The one to the right is very narrow. Probably one person at a time could just fit in there, shoulder to shoulder. You can tell that one goes maybe 35 feet, where the other one only goes 15 feet to a door.
The big one goes to the door.
If you're just looking without entering.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
I could cast alarm on that on the small tunnel.
Okay.
I want to use the spell.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Could have used it last night when we were sleeping in the shrine.
No.
Okay.
Now's the time.
Do you want to cast your primeval awareness or whatever? The one that let you like track dragons and demons and stuff?
Oh yeah, what about it?
You want to use that one?
Is it like a spell that you actually have to cast, or is it just a thing you do?
No, this is an actual spell called Alarm that I cast.
I don't care about Alarm. I don't give a flying fuck about it. I want to know if there's any goddamn demons around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, he's talking about the tracking one.
Okay, if I cast Alarm.
I'll stand guard. You don't have to cast an alarm.
I use a spell slot to do it.
So to cast Alarm on the small tunnel?
No.
Fuck you, Kristen. I'm doing it.
No, I mean, I don't. It might not even give us any important information, but I was just kind of curious.
Be interesting to know.
I can sense aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fae, fiend, or undead present within 1 mile.
I mean, fiends would probably be the demons, or getting a better number on the undead wouldn't be terrible either.
Yeah.
What do you prefer? And do we want to do it now or wait till closer to the day?
I mean, we're going to have a couple of days, so you'll be able to get that spell slot back.
All right, I'll cast it for, let's say, undead this time.
Sure. You want to detect undead?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and within a mile.
Is this technically in the jungle?
Yeah, it's like jungle slash city.
Okay. Let's meet in the middle then, and I can see any up to 3 miles away then.
What is that? What? How does that change that?
It says if you have favorite terrain, you can see 6 miles away. Okay, but I said meet in the middle. So,
and you're detecting undead. Yeah. You detect... I gotta be honest, you detect a schwack ton of undead.
What is that in number?
Does that give you any kind of direction?
Like, it's like radar. His radar is pinging, and it is pinging, I would say, in all directions. And you're remembering that you are in this jungle where an undead army has just been left to do whatever the hell it wanted. You know that they're definitely undead within the city. You know that they're definitely undead in the jungle up above you. You don't detect anything that's like bigger and badder than your average kind of ghoul.
Cool. So that was useless. Let's go.
But you, like, they're around. I've been kind of giving you the benefit of the doubt that you're kind of being careful about that as you go through.
Yeah, I guess that there's a way to narrow that. Well, I guess.
What type you mean?
No, more like just, is there a ton down this tunnel? Are they in the city? Like,
not detecting much through into the tunnel.
Yeah.
If anything, it's actually above in the jungle up ahead on the cliff. It's almost like there's like a vacuum. Once you hit the door, like, you can't feel past it.
No one's been in here in a long time.
Or it's just the fact that this is where everything is radiating from.
Or sealed by magic.
Yeah, he made it sound more like it's a black box that you can't see into.
Yeah.
That's okay. Fine. I'm going to cover up the little hole with brush and stuff.
Okay, you guys don't want to, like, go look down or anything? Like, you can see for sure, Cranston, that there's an end to it on the other end, if you want.
Oh, if you want to go in there.
Sure, I'll explore a little farther in.
You go into that small tunnel. And you see that there are alcoves running the length of the tunnel. Each one features a bestial statue standing or squatting above a basin of oil. You see that the first two that you come across, kind of standing in opposition to each other across the hallway. One on your left is a Jaculi. The one on the right is a Sioux monster.
Right. So these are the enemies opposing from the inscription.
That's right. The next set is an Almiraj and a Zorbo. After that is an Ible and a Frogimoth. After that is a Grung and a Commandant.
And does that all line up with the kind of opposition from the story that we...
Yes.
Yeah.
Make a intelligence check.
22.
There's one missing. The legend spoke of 9 trickster gods, but here you only see 8.
Which one's missing?
As you get closer to the alcoves, the oil basins in front of Papazotl, Wongo, and Kubazon ignite.
Those are the cubes that we have.
Oh.
Got it.
You do?
No.
So the one stands between them.
That must be the 9th.
It have to be.
The 9th is our hearts.
I am the 5th element.
And yeah, which of the 9 gods are not represented here?
Unk the Flail Snail.
Who is Unk the Flail Snail?
Who is he?
He's the one where you need to don that fucking mask so he doesn't see you.
Said he's
or
in
does
the dark.
He have the mask and we can't see him?
He's a snail. He's underground. Start digging.
So if the only temple that's left is the temple of Nang Nang, then Kozath, presumably,
if he was being 100% honest, has the one for the snail. Yeah. In theory, yes.
I like your idea of if we can cover up this other tunnel.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, he may have already been here, but it's worth a try.
That'll help indicate that, because then he'll want to move it out of the way and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Douglas starts covering it up.
So you're cutting down, like, branches and stuff?
Yeah, and I don't know if you could even use those mystical pigments or whatever to make it look like it's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long this lasts, but...
What they do is, if you cast an illusion, it makes the illusion look more real.
Oh, okay. So we have to be able to cast an illusion.
There's no point hiding it, like... We're just going to have to come through here with him anyway, are we not?
Maybe, but it would just give us an advantage, right? That we might be able to exploit later. If he, you know, we can get him to, we can go up to the door and say, oh, you got to put the cubes here and, I don't know,
and then
stab
beat him to death. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Did you guys want to look in at the big door?
Yeah, I'll take a piece.
Yeah, for sure.
You go in through the larger tunnel. After about 20 feet, the tunnel ends at a slab of worked stone, whose edges are marked by relief carvings of grinning skulls. Four lines are engraved at the center of the slab, crossing one another to form a star, with both ends of each line marking the location of a cube-shaped cavity cut into the door. Eight cavities in all.
Oh, what the fuck?
So it is kind of like that, but there's no spot for the ninth cube then.
So maybe...
So, I mean, I feel like one of these is a trap or a decoy or whatever,
yeah, or maybe
right?
They reveal the cube when you put all the other cubes in there.
Oh, you mean you put the eight cubes in here to get the ninth cube and,
right.
Or something?
Yeah.
Maybe. Or
he says he already has five, though.
Yeah, we don't know he's 100% telling us the truth.
The fact
that
those braziers reacted to us having the cubes, mm-hmm. That makes me feel like that's what's supposed to happen. Like that's... the area where the cubes are supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And that maybe this is a red herring or...
So maybe we give him all the cubes and have him, like, explode himself when he opens the door?
Maybe.
Or tries to open the door?
Can we... I don't know. We don't have trap finding.
No.
Or don't check you? Magic.
Hmm? Don't you?
No.
Don't you?
Sure.
Do we got a potion? A wand of some sort?
Oh, yes! Yes, thank you. Yeah,
you're
we
welcome.
Have our wand of detects traps and doors. And
the wand
doors.
We haven't blown up yet.
Whereabouts are you going to use it?
On the door, the main door, the big door.
Door?
Yeah.
Okay. You.
Thanks, Sean.
It's been a while.
It's okay. You use the wand of secrets. You cast it in that shorter, wider entrance, and you find that it points directly at the door and then wobbles up, points at the ceiling, wobbles forward, points at the door. And it's kind of going blip, blip, blip as it points at these two features of the cave entrance.
Douglas gazes up.
Make a perception check.
18 for Lee.
9 for Douglas.
Liana, you see there is a cut or a recess in the ceiling. Looks like there is basically a big block in the ceiling that, if triggered, would drop.
Mm-hmm.
We might have the beginnings of a plan.
It looks A, big enough to crush you, and B, big enough to block you in if you were on the other side of it.
That could be a problem, man. Because if we have all the cubes and he gets crushed under there, can we not get to the cubes again?
It looks like it would collapse the tunnel.
Okay.
So doing it would take the cubes away from us as well.
Presumably the cubes would survive. We may have to dig it out or something afterwards, but... These kind of things have a way of resetting themselves. Like, it's not like you spring that trap and then, oh, no one can go to the soulmonger anymore.
Who was the first person to go and look at the actual cube cutouts?
I guess that was probably me, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah. Can you give me a perception check over there?
Yarp. 10.
Yeah, you don't notice anything new.
Town? Does she sniffing around, seeing anything? Or nope. Smelling anything? What kind of beastmaster are you?
Yeah, like... Town doesn't really do, like, investigation stuff.
She's an animal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, she can smell weird stuff, and I don't know. Animals do things all the time. All
right, let's find out what Town's smelling right now. Let me just pull up her sheet and figure out what kind of smell factor she has.
Smell factor.
She smells her own butt.
If I spend a bit of time here, which I think we're doing anyway, can we do just an investigation to look for anything else?
What's everybody's passive perception?
16.
12.
Town got an 18 perception as well.
Town is like sniffing at the door around the like cube areas and around those skulls. And Cranston, you notice that the skull carvings, there are like these little holes in the mouths of the skulls.
Okay.
Does it look like they shoot
they're gonna
darts?
Shoot.
Yeah.
Classic.
It looks a little bit bigger than that.
Mm. Spears then?
Bullets.
Not spears. No, like it's a vent or something.
Oh.
So they're gonna shoot gas out or whatever.
Oh, yeah. See? Town can smell that.
Hork grabs some of the remaining rope that he has.
Yeah.
And using his battle axe, just like cuts it into some little pieces and just plugs the little vents.
Do we want to do that?
Well, just in case.
But we might be using this trap against Kosev. We're trying to, anyway.
We don't want to accidentally, like, trigger it on ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
It seems like that's not going to happen unless we try to put the cubes in the thing. Seems like.
Okay.
Anyway.
He,
pulls them back.
He pulls back out most of them.
There's six holes, so...
So he pulls out five.
Okay. Whatever makes you happy.
Yes. Well, this will work.
He leaves one of them still plugged, just because he forgot.
I mean, I guess to be fair...
He was pretty sure he got all six, yeah. But he didn't really notice.
I guess the gases are probably not what's going to kill Kosev if he's actually undead. Let's put him back in.
Okay. Hork puts five of them back in, and then he feels like he only put five back in, but he doesn't have any rope
left
that he had cut up, so he doesn't say anything.
So we're good, I guess. Okay, interesting.
I guess I'll roll a d6 and see how many are plugged later.
Okay, well, this is something we should think about, whether we want to try to use this against Kosev or not. I think we have set the table for it if we hide that other tunnel. And
you guys have thrown branches and stuff in front of us, so it's hidden.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, I cast Alarm on it.
I haven't actually expected the obelisk, really, except for reading that thing off of it.
Okay.
Oftentimes, statues, you can push them and they move, and there's something hidden underneath them, or...
And then sound happens.
Yeah. Or see if there's, you know, any signs of someone that's been tampering with it recently, or...
You don't see any signs of tampering. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big and heavy, about 15 feet tall, solid stone.
Okay, I think I'm satisfied with our reconnaissance then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think amphitheater was next on our list.
Yes.
What's at the amphitheater?
It just looks cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't know.
Got your sweet show?
Maybe.
I heard there was a kobold concert.
Dude, you gotta check out the sweet kobold concert. So you guys make your way further west through the city, skirting along the north edge of the cliffs to avoid having to zigzag through the buildings and better able to easily keep an eye out for any wandering undead or other creatures out here. This ruined, huge amphitheater looms up over the surrounding buildings ahead of you. Very much Colosseum-like, but a half circle. The steps on it go up a good 50 to 75 feet tall at its highest elevation. Vines cling to the steps. You see that there's animal statues lining all the stands. There's a bunch of muddy ground outside of the amphitheater that's stripped clean of vegetation. As you come up and get within the arms of the amphitheater, an eerie silence hangs over the area. No birds cry, no insects chirp. Nothing here stirs. You are just approaching it from the distance. You can see that amongst the grandstands, there are a bunch of alcoves that maybe look like they might go off into hallways underneath the grandstands, as well as a larger main door right in the center of the amphitheater leading into the core, and lots of vines and plants growing all over the place. And as you get closer, you can't fail to notice some giant clawed footprints in the mud. From toe to heel, each of these footprints span over 5 feet.
Holy shit.
Closer to the rune, you find these long, slender feathers in scarlet, orange, and green hues, kind of like these like really huge macaw feathers. As you get even closer, these unmistakable, huge heaps of dung, probably large enough to bury a dwarf in.
Do we remember what the coloring of the T-Rex that we saw looked like?
That one was very scaly and grayish and brownish and not feathered.
Right.
If that's what you're wondering about.
I am wondering
about. We've
seen
raptors too, though.
You have seen raptors.
Not that big, though.
No.
The biggest raptor that you saw was like large dog sized.
We did hear something big stomping around when we were making camp the other day.
Perhaps something else we could lead Kosev to.
Something else we could get swallowed by.
There's many options we have here.
Well, I mean, this thing is so big, if it was anywhere nearby, we would see it. I feel good.
Unless
feeling,
it's sleeping
right?
Inside the amphitheater.
I don't know if it would fit in there. Or at least be able to get into.
How tall is that archway?
The archway is about 15 feet high.
Oh, it's not that big. It's a small amphitheater.
Well, it's just the entrance, like the door.
Quick, Horik, touch the poop. How warm is it?
It's not radiating heat.
Just at the very least.
Too late. Horik's like elbow.
Guys, there's treasure in here.
That's why they call him the poopsmith.
Oh, right. That's why we called it that. Okay. I mean, do we want to investigate this further?
No? This seems scary.
Also smells bad.
Does Lee know anything about giant birds or some sort of dinosaur of the size?
What would you like to know?
I would like to know what kind of bird monster this is.
Nature check.
20.
From your knowledge, these feathers could be from a couple of different things. The claw prints in the ground, for sure, appear to be dinosaurish. You've seen the Deinonychus tracks. You've seen the Tyrannosaurus tracks. Fairly similar. As for the feathers, you haven't seen anything that large that's that feathered, at least here in the jungle. You've heard of myths about the Great Roc, which is a gargantuan bird that eats whales.
Oh.
All right. Do I see any whale bones around here?
You don't see whale bones.
It's a whale graveyard.
Yeah, the amphitheater is made of the bones.
I feel like if it had a nest somewhere nearby, we'd have to be able to see it. Like, it'd be so big. I just, kind of behind the amphitheater, there's the cliff and the jungle. Yeah. Do I see signs that maybe it nests up in the jungle or something?
Make a perception check.
23.
You don't see any indications of a nest or any avian creatures up there, but you do see, just as they are attempting to sneak out through the vines and ambush you, a pack of Deinonychus about to run full tilt at you from the stands. Roll initiative.
9 for Cranston.
Lee got a 20.
Douglas got a 6.
Hork got a 13.
Quickest to react, Liani in town. 5 Deinonychus coming down at you from the stands.
Oh, shit! Lee quickly whips out her longbow.
Yeah.
Which is an arrow. She's going to use one of the poisoned ones.
Sure.
And she'll fire it at the one closest to her on the left side.
Sure.
24 to hit.
That definitely hits.
8 damage and 5 poison.
Okay.
And then I'll fire a second shot. The same one. 24.
Yeah, that hits.
14 damage.
2 arrows right to the neck. And it just collapses over the barrier, falling dead into the middle of the amphitheater.
All right. Town, flank to the left.
The Deinonychus are going to go next, seeing some of the smaller, weaker prey attempting to flee, running off to the left. The Deinonychus is attracted to the sight of the moving creature, and it bolts straight for town.
It's going to regret that.
That is enough movement distance that it can do its pounce. This is a 22 to hit.
Yep.
A claw strikes. Town now must succeed on a strength saving throw or be knocked prone as the Deinonychus jumps onto Town's back.
Okay. 12.
12 is just enough to succeed.
Oh, what?
So Town's still up. You will take 4 slashing damage from the claw.
Okay.
Next Deinonychus is going to go for Liani, being the closest target, leaping off of the grandstand at you. It's going to pounce. Does a 16 hit you?
No.
Just lands on the ground beside you, attempting to claw at you with its big hooked toe. Douglas, both of those Deinonychus are coming in at you.
Okay.
First one will just do a regular claw attack.
Oh, just a regular one.
15 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
5 slashing damage from that one. The other Deinonychus, seeing that you're distracted by its buddy, is going to get its pounce off. 16 to hit.
Yeah.
Make a strength saving throw.
9.
You are prone, which means he gets a free bite as a bonus action with advantage because you're on the ground.
Okay.
And I crit.
Oh, my God.
So, this is going to be 3d8 plus 4. Max on 2 of those.
Holy smokes.
21 damage.
Oh my God.
You guys watch in horror as the second Deinonychus leaps onto Douglas, knocks it to the ground, digs a big claw-like thumb into his gut, and bites at the shoulder of the wizard. Next up is Horik Jones.
Horik Jones!
Douglas is on the ground prone beside you. 2 Deinonychus about to just rip and tear.
Horik is going to dive in front of Douglas. Well, he'll jog over.
Yeah, you got to pace yourself.
Trot over.
So Horik's going to just jog over and...
Hump-a-dum, it's like hump-a-dum. 4 steps. You don't even have to jog.
But he wants to convey a sense of urgency.
He throws on his tracksuit.
Because yeah, nothing conveys urgency
because
like
his
jogging.
New friend Douglas is... prone on the ground, getting torn up by Deinonychi.
He's like, no, my haste dispenser.
Oh no, my chance to run fast. He's upset that these dinosaurs are teaming up on Douglas because that's not a fair fight.
Oh, poor Dougie.
Poor Dougie. So he grabs his battle axe and he takes a swing at the nearest one.
Yep.
Natural 20.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
19 damage.
Oh, 19 man. Damage.
Pretty good.
And Hork, I think you still have a bonus action.
He's got a second attack, and he's got a bonus action after that. So okay. He's also going to attack with his mace.
Yep.
22 to hit.
That hits.
10 bludgeoning damage.
You down it.
Chop its head off while it's like gnawing at my innards.
Those are my innards.
It's down.
Hork's going to take another step forward in front of Douglas and then use his bonus action to attack this other Deinonychus again with the battle axe this time. 27 to hit.
Absolutely.
10 slashing damage.
You slash across its flank. It squeals in pain and turns its focus to you.
And he's also going to do his lunging attack while he's at it.
Okay.
An additional 4 damage.
Okay. Cranston.
You guys seem to have this pretty much under control. I'm just going to step back one and shoot a crossbow.
So the Deinonychus that's fighting Lee?
Yeah.
Okay.
13 to hit.
That hits.
5 damage. And Lee, you can also have a Bardic Inspiration die.
Dope.
Douglas, prone on the ground right beside a Deinonychus.
Yeah. Douglas is clutching his side but getting up.
Okay.
Because he did not like what happened when he was laying down.
Ow.
Ow, you guys.
Okay.
My guts.
And shoulder.
So standing up just costs half of your movement speed.
That's fine. I am now going to cast...
Haste. Give us our haste pills.
You're addicted and I've never even cast once.
Yeah, well, I'm used to seeing Horik do like way more stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Patting Horik on the back for helping me out. It's a magical haste that happens upon you.
Hey!
Okay, back up to the top of the round. We're at Liani.
Woo-wee!
So Town currently getting attacked by a Deinonychus. Liani getting attacked by a Deinonychus. You're about 15 feet away from each other. Is this the last time you see your trusted animal companion?
No, we good.
Nah, it's whatever.
Lee has to focus on her own, however.
Yep.
So she's going to drop her longbow and take out her short swords.
Yep.
26 to hit.
That hits.
I'm going to use the Bardic Inspiration on this one.
For damage?
Yep.
Okay.
14 damage on that one. So I can still do another attack on this one with Lee, and then I'll have Town do his attack.
Yep.
Or her attack.
His and or her attack.
Yep.
There.
27 to hit.
Yes.
8 damage on that attack.
You fell another Deinonychus.
All right, Town, it's your turn to shine.
Seems like you guys have had some practice fighting Velociraptor family creatures.
I've had practice running away from them.
Yeah.
That's your favorite tactic.
Yeah, I got pretty good at it.
Horik has had practice fighting them.
Horik and then we're all kind of like, I guess then.
And yet Horik's the one who can run twice the speed.
Now.
Who's the real
runner? Give me Town's action.
That's fair.
He's ripping up more pieces of paper.
No, I'm not.
Don't look over here. Well, we're not allowed to look at you now?
No.
Don't look at me. Hey, no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Behind the DM screen.
Just because of that, I'm making this piece of paper even bigger.
21 to hit on the bite?
21 definitely hits.
Ooh, 10 damage.
10 to the Deinonychus.
Where's our friend?
Where is your friend?
Orbex.
He is here. He's going to shoot his hand crossbow. Who's he going to help? Is he going to help Douglas, the intellectual that's been by his side ever since he found him under a rock?
Or Town, the lovable cougar.
Lovable cat. Oh, he's saving the cat. He hits.
He just is an animal lover, I understand.
Oh, max damage. Don't worry, Town. I'll help you.
You're the only one who's been nice to me.
She's indiscriminate, like a loving animal family companion.
Hang on, Puckums!
Puckums! So first, Deinonychus is going to attempt to claw Horik because it just took a beat down from you. Does a cool 21. Oh, no, wait, that's the wrong...
Look at his face.
My math is so bad.
Does a 21 hit you? Gee, I don't fucking know.
Sorry, 15.
Not anymore.
15 doesn't hit you, okay?
Booyakasha.
Not with haste.
That's a miss. And then for Town, 18 to hit. Town will take 6 piercing damage, 19, 7 damage. And then second claw, 14 to hit.
Yes.
9 damage. And then Horik got 2 more attacks at you. 16.
That is my AC, so that hits.
The last one will miss. You're going to take 7 points of damage. Your turn, Horik.
Horik's upset. He didn't expect to get hurt this fight because these guys are pretty small.
Size isn't everything, but sometimes it matters a lot.
Sometimes it matters
sometimes
a lot.
Sometimes it's a giant bird monster, and sometimes it's just a bunch of dinosaurs.
Right. We're doing the battle axe. 17 to hit?
Yes.
Bob the Battle Axe does 9 damage.
Yep.
And then he's going to attack with the mace.
Yep.
24 to hit.
That hits.
7 damage.
The boar mace brings down the Denarius. Bob and Boar.
And Douglas.
Well, yeah, Douglas was there too.
Yeah, didn't he just cast haste?
Yeah, didn't he just make sure you didn't take any damage in the first hit?
Thanks, Douglas.
Anything left, Horik?
Yeah, Horik is going to run over here to town like a fucking action movie star. He's going to use all his haste. Actually, not even all of it.
Yeah.
And he's going to jump on his way over there and do a big overhead move with Bob the Battle Axe. 22 to hit.
Okay.
7 damage.
7 damage.
And then he just really lunges into that damage and does an extra 6 damage while he's at it.
The final Deinonychus drops to the ground.
Oh my god. I start healing myself immediately.
It's too bad that you don't have time, though. As Horik downs the last Deinonychus, you hear the trademarked Tyrannosaurus Rex roar. From the opening of the gate, suddenly a flurry of feathers bursts out, swirls around the amphitheater, and then coalesces. Out of that cloud of feathers comes a huge feathered Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the King of Feathers, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Maybe.
Maybe someone should read the rules someday.
Nah, fuck it.